The cow of destiny is singing again.
I like it, I like it. Oh, that's so good. The cow of destiny.
The cow of destiny.
What do you reckon, Nate?
It works, why not?
Yeah, all right, next podcast, I want more lyrics.
Okay, I'm on it.
Win of the month, we're putting that down.
It's so good to hear the cow.
Right, good. So, beer and bullshit.
Hi.
We're out of lockdown. We're back in the saddle and recording podcasts. I don't know, did we call this number 5?
4, surely. We only did 3, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, no,
kind of
yeah,
Mickey Mouse
of course.
4. We'll call this number.
Is.
Yeah, we'll call this number 5. So,
Five's
yeah,
good.
Beer and bullshit show, plenty of content. Loads to say. I would imagine we've all got a bit of a pent up frustration.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So. No?
Well. To be honest, not really. No, it's not really changed anything for me.
We're all still working. Anyway, so introductions again. I'm sure they're not mm-hmm. needed if you're a regular listener. I'm Jeff, your host. We have...
Oh, Nathan. I thought you were pointing to somebody behind me then. Sorry, Jeff. I do apologise.
He's left now. It's all right.
That's fine.
I didn't mean you, Nathan.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
And also we have...
I'm Rachel. Hiya.
Hey, so let's get it on. And... So, lockdown's over. Well, not quite.
It's not over, is it?
It isn't over, but I think we're feeling a little bit more confident in getting out and not getting back to normal, but, you know, trying a few things that we like to do. And
the visual distancing of 2 metres has become quite acute for everybody, hasn't it? Stay away, everyone. Keep your distance, but we've got it down,
yeah,
I think.
Some
we've got
people's
it down.
2 metres are like... 10 centimetres though, aren't they?
Some people have no kind of idea of measuring or anything like that, and it's frankly ridiculous.
Mm.
As you'll get someone trying to talk to you, I mean, I've found, particularly for me, someone is trying to talk to me, and they just get closer and closer. I walk further and further away from them, and they carry on walking towards me.
Just
to the point, it's like where it's
stroll.
Actually, it kind of gets to like horror film territory where you're like running away from them, and they're still trying to talk to you. Like,
I feel sorry for the guy now. He's probably UPS. Look, man, I've got a parcel for you. Stop moving away from me.
He should leave it at your doorstep, like the protocol
says. Did he walk into his living room? Like, stop moving away from me.
Well, I'm gonna say he did have a box of matters, so just put it on the ground and leave me alone. But he followed me all through the house,
lay it on the ground and walk away.
It's not good. He's probably outside now, but
we locked him in.
So, what have you been doing to cope, Rach?
I have been using the healing power of nature. Spending lots of time outside.
Oh, I thought you were going to say smoking lots of weed.
All the grass. No, just some sunshine.
All the grass. You didn't leave any for anyone else.
And bird song. I've been properly getting back to Mother Nature.
Good.
Yeah, loving it. It's definitely got therapeutic.
How about you, Nathan?
I've recently discovered the joys of injecting formaldehyde.
Really?
To help cope with... No, to be honest,
that wasn't saying Donald Trump suggested, was that? That was just bleach.
No, that was just bleach, and I think he said drank it. I think he said drink it rather than have it intravenously administered. But no, to be honest, from what I've been doing I've just been working all the time.
Yeah.
Doing bits of guitar when I can.
Cool.
Building Warhammer and scam baiting.
Nice.
Cool.
The usual, well, then.
We won't go down the scam baiting avenue.
No,
just
of course
yet.
Not, no. I've already said too much already.
Cool. So I've been working on my elite podcasting skills and post-editing, so hopefully we'll have a nicer, crisper, cleaner audio quality to this show. So we'll see. Maybe the fridge will have something to say about that.
Kick it.
Yes. Oh, no, Aaron's here. Speaking of Aaron...
Who's Aaron?
Aaron's our guest for the show. So our first guest, official guest. So Aaron Gatliff.
That's correct, yes.
Hello. Aaron Gatliff. Yes.
I can speak.
Yay! He's been holding his breath this whole time. He's got ready the face.
Put my hand over my mouth, like trying not to laugh.
So a bit of background very quickly. Aaron is it the head brewer? How would Richard and Simon feel about that?
Yeah, go on then. I'm sure they won't mind. Yeah.
Aaron's head brewer at Quirky Ales.
Of course he is.
The man behind the pump, the man behind the hops. Mm. Yes. So we have
Master.
Aaron. We're going to talk to him in a minute about brewing and all things quirky.
Mm-hmm.
And take it from there. How have you been coping with lockdown, Aaron?
Well, to be fair, it's not been too bad. We've been able to open and do sort of takeaways and things like that. So it's been pretty, I would say normal, but it's the new normal.
Mm.
And when I've not been here, either brewing or selling bottles and cans for takeaways for people, I've just been drinking to excess. I've spent so much money, much more on what I normally do. It's ridiculous.
Well, home brewing?
No, just drinking at home.
I'd agree with that because I've definitely increased my consumption of alcohol. It's so good because, I mean, I won't go into what I do as a day job, but I work normally in the day in Leeds City Centre, come home 2 o'clock. I leave at 2 o'clock, get home three, half three, too tired, can't be bothered to do anything. But working from home, sat in my office, 2 o'clock,
fridge open.
Yeah. Yeah. Too easy.
Cold, I don't know, soft drink? No, there's a beer there waiting for me. So yeah, I've definitely been drinking a lot, lot more. Yeah.
I'm the actual opposite. I've been drinking a lot less, which just shows me how social drinking is for me. My thing is that I miss hanging out with you guys, and I miss being in the pub. That's what I really miss.
Like hammered in, well, since it all happened.
Yeah, no.
Do not understand that whatsoever.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, I felt really, really sorry for them.
I really haven't.
I've got to say, we have had the odd cheeky social drink.
Yeah, when it was appropriate.
Yeah, there's a nice big green field near where we all live. Me, Nath, Rachel, Nathan's dad, we've sat in the field, clearly 2 metres apart, had a few cans, and that was good to catch up.
Definitely.
So yeah, you're right, social drinking is important.
Mm. It's basically my only motivation for it. Otherwise, I've been really great. You're just a lone drinker.
I totally agree about the social drinking. It definitely is important. The other day, I had to travel through Leeds the other day, and the Corn Exchange steps were empty. There was none of the guys with the normal tenant super strength. It was actually heartbreaking to see.
None of your friends around to drink with me.
Well, no, exactly. I couldn't catch a cig off any of them. It was, you know.
So let me just finish off by saying welcome to the show, Aaron.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. The first round of applause I've ever had in my life.
Big, big round of applause. So welcome to the show, our first official guest. So let's talk about Quirky for a second. How would you explain Quirky?
I would explain us as a nano brewery just outside of Leeds in Garforth. Producing, we're 2.5 BBL setups. What that basically means is, every single time we brew, a single brew is around about 400 litres, give or take, obviously, for different sort of grain bills and things like that. Generally, we're doing double brews a lot more often now. Basically, people just need beer at the minute in the area.
For sure.
And the support we've had in this, quite awful time, basically, for specifically for this business
it's been interesting because, from your mouth, explain how you sell your beer and what you sell it in.
At the moment, just cask and bottle.
Yeah, I know, but people are bringing down all sorts of weird vessels.
Oh, yeah. Basically, anything that is fillable.
For the takeaway, isn't it?
Yeah. So we have to measure it before, of course. We need to make sure that it's the correct measurements for people and things. But yeah, if you've got anything, it'll go in, basically.
The most popular seem to be milk bottles, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're good. Because it's obviously got pints on it already.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're quite good for that. I mean, I have had, petrol jerry cans been handed to me. a petrol jerry can. Yeah, that is true.
The beer's that good, it'll power your Maserati.
I did ask if he'd cleaned it out first.
I bloody hope so.
I'd just laugh if he said no, and he actually was just buying it just to kind of fuel his lawnmower.
Yeah, hip hop's strong enough, to be fair.
I think NASA contacted you about that, actually, using that as fuel for when it's the next Apollo mission.
I'm up for anything. As long as there's a pound note in it, I'm there. Yeah.
Probably a US dollar, but you know.
Yeah, well.
When the exchange rate is, you'll be all right.
So how did you actually get into brewing?
To be honest with you, completely by mistake.
Mistake, not accident.
Did you just turn up at the wrong shop interview?
Yeah. I'm surprised a lot of my things happen by mistake in my life. I mean, started off as a mistake. No, I'm
oh, no. Does your mum listen to this show?
No, hi, mum. Nah, I'm only joking. No. I was working at Starbucks. I was managing a store. Pretty much hated every single day, doing long hours and night shifts, and just weren't brilliant for me at all. And my friend Ben, the guy who set this up, is his dad, Mike. Mike Quirk.
Mike Quirk, yeah.
Hence the name. Hence Quirky. And Ben knew, hated what I was doing. And I wanted something for a career and not just, you know, pouring coffee into cups for posh Tories.
Overnight, on a night shift.
Yeah, exactly.
That is
great. Yeah, one brilliant. And yeah, from there, you know, Mike put me through all the sort of training and, yeah, and then it just went from there. And
the rest is history.
Basically, yeah. So
that's awesome.
Strength to strength next year.
How long have we been here for?
I joined in December 2017. So what's that? Two and a half years.
Nice.
So, yeah. No, it's brilliant. Love it. So it's nice to do something that you actually enjoy.
Exactly.
Good. Which is the biggest bit, which is the biggest reason.
Mm. It is. And it's a nice place here. So it's a nice place to work. Like I say, because me and Rach actually just, well, we work here.
Yeah.
Well, when bar it's open.
Wench.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not a bar wench.
You are.
When I dress up. Yeah. Right.
You put those laid out.
So what's your favourite style of brewing when you're here?
I prefer brewing darker beers. There's more malt in it. It's more interesting.
Smells better.
Yeah. It's my favourite part of the whole brewing process is easily the mashing in.
Not the drinking.
Well, yeah, that's close.
Brewing process. It's a brewing process.
Okay, mashing in's a close second. Yeah. but mashing in is definitely the best part. Yeah, it's where you get to see. For me, it's like the biggest change of beer. You know, you get this dry, unmilled grain and you have to mill it and then you put it into a machine and you see the colour change, you see the clarity change through sparging and things like that. So, and the whole, that's just amplified when you're doing darker beers because there's so much more malt in there. And I love the smell of roast barley as well. So
in layman's terms, the mashing is what, like boiling it?
No, the mash is getting very, very simple. It's getting the sugars, starches, flavours, colours out of the grain. Yeah, and you heat it up, basically. And then, you know, you let it mash for an hour or 70 minutes or whatever, depending on body and things like that. Mm. That basically gives you the nutrients and the sugars that the yeast eats later on to create alcohol, basically.
Nice.
Cool.
And is there a lot of byproduct from that? Like, what do you take from that? Do you take the mushy bits of grain or do you take like the liquid that's come off it? Or?
Yeah, so the liquid that comes off, it's called wort. And then you that's what goes into your kettle for boiling to add hops and the like. The grains go to animal feed. We have a farm that's got all of our stock up there. And we hold all our casks and bottles up a container in a farm. And the farmer takes all the grain and feeds his pigs, sheep, cows,
that's
donkeys,
wicked.
Wife, you know, all that.
Got the law of the time of the lives.
it's cheap.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all gets, that all gets thrown to the cows and things over there. So, yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's got to be checked, obviously. It's going back into the food chain and, foot and mouth and things like that, obviously.
Some appropriate regulation in place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's basically, you just got to get the farmer to sign it. So, yeah, it's all right.
Nice.
So, fine.
So you could give him a backhander then and like say, yeah, this is all fine.
It's all above board.
Yeah, everything's got to be signed. It's ridiculous. Anyway, it's got to be done,
Nice.
Okay. I mean, no way insinuating either that you actually give the farmer backhanders to take off the horse.
Oh, no. Only when he's been cheeky, I might give him a backhander.
so assault and bribery, there we go.
Yeah.
Does it still go into the gin?
Does the malt, sorry.
The hops.
The hops. Yeah. The gin that we do, we don't actually distill it here. It's a guy over at Hooting Owl that does it over in York. We designed the recipe, which hops went into the gin in order to work best with his, I believe, and I apologise if I've got this wrong, Dominic. I believe it's the North Yorkshire gin that he uses, and the hops that we selected worked best with them. So that's the gin.
So I'm really sorry. Are the hops in the mash with the barley?
No.
So the hops go into the
Into the yeah, oily into bit. The, yeah, into the kettle, yeah, to boil. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. And so, is there wastage from hops as well?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. I mean, flowers. If you're using hop cone, which is what we do, we use all full leaf here, so we do use dry pellet. Dry pellets are basically just little pellets of smashed up hops, if you like. Mm. We do put them in sometimes, and they turn into a bit of a sludge. If you want no waste product at all, you can use liquid hops. That some people use.
Do pigs eat hops as well?
No, but goats do.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah. I had a very nice chap come down and used to buy all the, well, not buy, but grab all the hops off us for his goats.
Amazing.
And then he stopped coming. So I don't know if the hops or the goats off.
Yeah, what, just something's gone wrong in the chain there.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, moving on. Do you have a favourite non-quirky beer?
It's a massive question. I've definitely got certain breweries that I really like. I mean, you know, loads of breweries at the moment that I've really got into, especially when lockdown has happened. I've been going to different breweries and ordering from their websites and things like that, and, you know, smaller sort of independent beer shops that, you know, need help just as we do. Mm. It's share the wealth sort of thing. I mean, I'm not looking for a Pride of Britain award. I'm just saying that...
Help out.
I did have one... The other week that really, really stood out. It was called Good Morning Captain. And it was from a brewery in Salford that I forgot the name of now.
Good morning.
But yeah, that's really, really stood out for me. In fact, one of them days I sat outside in the back garden and just sat in the sun and on my own.
Nice.
What was it called? Good Morning.
Good Captain. Morning Captain. I believe it's, is it Pomini? Something like that. P-O-M.
What style?
Pomini.
What style was it?
I think it was a dipper.
I was going to say, do you like drinking the darker beers as well as making the
I do in winter.
Beers?
Yeah, in winter, definitely. Yeah, I'm a very seasonal drinker. Mm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not going to turn my nose up to a nice porter or nice stout in summer, but
yeah,
I don't really want to be right heavy on the old stomach there, you know. Waistline's big enough. So in summer, I need to slim down.
Was it possibly Font Hill Brewing?
No.
I'll tell you what, Pomona Island.
That's the one. Get in there.
Pomona.
Yeah, okay. Pomona. Yeah, that's them.
Pomona.
Didn't have to Google that, but.
Definitely not. Pomona Island.
Yeah, that's them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Salford,
some,
did you say?
Yeah, some class beers come out of there at the moment. And I've really, really got into them.
Nice.
Discovered that was the first one. I discovered the Good Morning Captain. That's why it stood out the most. Mm. I've had quite a few others. Some called Lefty Scissors.
Lefty Scissors.
Yeah, that's very nice as well. So, yeah, there's loads of others as well. So.
Cool.
Online ordering a beer is just revolutionary, isn't it?
Ah, class.
Did you see? This happened literally minutes ago. I got the biggest box of BrewDog beer through the door. Oh, my God, made my day.
Very, very jealous. I did have a little inspection about what ones you got. No, I think there was a couple of Clockwork Tangerines.
It was a right array.
Well, was it the collab, the Brewdog and is it Evil Twin collab? Yeah.
Four of them bad boys.
Yeah.
I was considering whether to bring it for the secret. I have not. They are mine.
I was just going to say, I wish I swapped my beers with you now.
No. They were definitely not out of that box.
Okay. Well, this is making me thirsty. Shall we open a beer or two?
Or four.
So, Nath, do you want to go ahead first?
Yeah, sure.
You should have a nice tall glass there. And then we shall throw some random questions at you, Aaron.
Ooh. Quick fire.
Nice one.
Well done. You standed that grill in there. Well done.
Yeah, all right. I'm
easing in.
You should have seen honestly, it wasn't as worse as me sat here waiting for you lot to introduce me. You know, like when you sat in a queue for a roller coaster.
Go on, Nath. What have you got?
So, I don't know what I've got. It appears to be some kind of alcoholic drink. Here we go.
Is it wrapped in a diary page?
It is, actually, yeah.
And what date does it say?
What do you reckon?
It says Thursday the 22nd. There's no year, though, so...
Wow,
22nd of?
It doesn't say a month.
Well, it is actually 22nd of June.
22nd of June, today?
Today.
Why is that?
That's Nathan's birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Nathan's birthday to you.
Yep, unbelievably, I am 9 years old today.
Hooray!
I've got a gift for you as well over here, pal. So.
Oh,
The viewers can't see that. Well, listeners can't see that.
The viewers.
That's so nice. Thank you, Aaron.
Right, you don't have to drink.
Aaron's going to explain also what it is.
Oh, it's just a 3-pack of some quirky beer. So we've got the blonde in there, the quirky ITA, which is Indian Tall Ale. It's a hybrid between a brown ale and a IPA. And the Two Islands, which is our New Zealand pale. So it's a little bit sharper.
Nice.
Than English pale, that
nice
one.
Nice summery beverages.
All of them I like. So.
There we go. Nice
Excellent.
One.
Excellent.
So tell us about this beer you got. Are you trying now?
I'm trying to think how to describe it, actually. It's pale.
Mm.
It's cloudy. It's got quite a nice creamy finish to it. But it's slightly hoppy. That's really nice.
Good.
Mm. It's not one I've tried before. It doesn't taste familiar. That's one thing I kind of like about it, so I'm looking forward to finding out what that is.
I'm going to bring you back to your words on that. Slightly creamy.
Creamy. Mm. You like a creamy one, don't you, Jeff? You often bring a creamy one.
Well, you'll see. So what have you got, Rach?
Oh, okay. Open Not away from the mic. Ooh. Wow. Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Oh, it's got, lovely smell. It's a dark one. Yeah, Roy. It's dark and it looks creamy.
It looks thick, though.
Doesn't it? It's taken ages for the head to form, isn't it? That is like syrup. It's still not there. It's still going. The bubbles are still rising. Let's give it a sipple.
Go on, give it a taste.
Oh, my God.
That good?
Wow, yeah. That's so rich. Do I know what it is, Nip? Nip is avoiding my eyes. Oh my God, it's so good. It's got a coffee flavour to it for sure. But it's like sticky and nice.
Oh God.
It is?
It sounds like some kind of aphrodisiac, whatever it is.
Yeah, that segment was highly sexual.
I'm going to say, I hope not.
It's
I'm sure this
gorgeous.
Is suitable for people who are 18 listening to this.
It's really nice. Like, really sweet. Really, yeah. Good.
Excellent.
Mm.
Go on, Aaron.
Right, here we go.
Open yours up.
Away in it.
Away
Whoa. There we go. Just trying to get the...
I know, it tends to just wet the wrapping in it.
Ah, it's all right. I'll suck it off there. There you go.
Great stuff.
Nice. There we go. Yeah, poured out. Yeah, it looks good. Nice head in there. It's quite clear. It's clear. It's definitely. So it's not. It's either. it's either filtered or it's had findings in there. So give it a nice try.
Isn't it interesting to hear a brewer do this?
Yeah.
We're such amateurs.
Well, we've got good carbonation. It's got good, decent carbonation.
Well, we've gone from the smell of my pants to...
Not much body to it at all, actually.
What aromas are you getting?
I've got to smell. I just went to nectar.
Is that the blooming fridge?
It is, you know.
Oh, it's back to haunters.
I'm going
to
go.
Also introducing our next guest on the show, the quirky fridge.
It's I'm going to go kick it. I mean, turn it off.
No, it's good. It's nice.
Yeah.
Fruity. Slightly fruity. Not massively overpowering. It's quite well balanced, actually.
Cool.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Something that you think you've had before?
The lingering taste is slightly familiar, but I don't know, that could just be just something with similar bittering hops or something like that.
I have found it quite hard to choose my beer for today, because obviously we've been talking a lot, haven't we, all over lockdown, and like you said, you've been getting crazy beers in from the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've
all been
meeting and sharing, and I've found it quite difficult to find something. Do you want me to have a go? I'll do it.
Hang on. I'll go. It's fine. I'm on.
It's Jeff's beer's turn.
Here we go.
Let's get sorted.
Rudely interrupted by the fridge again. At least this time I didn't go for a piss in between. All right, so let's open my beer.
Don't worry, everyone thought you were running a bath. Jeff, it's fine.
All right.
Sit back down.
So what we've got here.
Oh, great sound. What have you wrapped it in, Aaron?
Oh, I didn't have any wrapping paper or brown paper or a diary page. All I had was a
hundreds of choices advert.
It's a it's an advert for Resin Drives that came through my that came from my letterbox this morning.
They've just got a free advert on the show.
which driveway company is it?
I've got no idea.
All right, that's fine, because I might know who they are.
Wow.
What's it like?
I'm guessing the ABV on this is off the roof.
Is it good?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, I've been sort of spoiled with the beer styles I drink normally. So this one, I'm having tastes quite, you know, low ABV, low sort of body. You know, there's not much.
You have definitely brought us up to par today, Aaron. Honestly,
this has got a golden haze to it. Nice head to it. I've got the first thing that hit me was mango and alcohol.
Mango and alcohol.
Oh wow! I reckon that's about 8 or 9%.
It looks like your eyes are watering.
For me, when I drink beer, the first thing I always pick up, especially if it's above 6 or 7%, is the alcohol volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Mr. President by BrewDog?
Yeah.
I find that it's got a nice flavour, but I just find it undrinkable because of the level of alcohol in it.
Yeah. I think I was sort of the same, but I won't say it. I don't like to call it practice. Which is not something I'm proud that I practice, but now I've been drinking more sort of stronger, heavier beers. I got used to it. It's a little bit like sour beer. When I first tried sour beer,
yeah,
couldn't stand it. Now I'm.
Are you a fan?
Yeah, I'm all for it now. Yeah.
I don't like saison. Do you like saison?
I don't mind saison. I've got to be in the mood for
is
it.
Is that a sour beer or
no? It's a different style.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's the yeast that goes into a beer, saison yeast.
I get you.
Oh, this is definitely enjoyable, and I can drink that, or I'll be a little bit slow of it just sheerly by by the alcohol content.
I'm enjoying mine a lot.
So I think overall we've got some good beers all around.
Great.
Again, no one's sneaked the Carlsberg in. Yeah. I'm not giving you ideas, Nathan.
I was going to say, why were you looking at me then if someone's going to sneak Carlsberg in?
Well, it could be White Lightning.
I was going to say, it'd be something like, what would I sneak in? Tesco's own lager, there we go.
Oh.
Cheap though.
Yeah, it's only 2% though, that's the thing.
Is it?
Yeah. There was a bloke who my dad used to work with, and he used to say about how his Saturday evenings were made up by he'd make his own pizza while drinking Morrison's Bitter, then sit in his conservatory listening to Deep Purple.
That sounds amazing.
I kind of felt sorry for him because it was Morrison's Bitter, but it's probably okay.
Morrison's do great, babe.
To be fair, they do actually.
Yeah. The craft choice is really good, actually.
Yeah. But I think it was the actual home brand Morrison's Bitter, and I was really hoping it was the old 90s style logos. So it's like the yellow and black stripes on it.
Yeah, love it.
Be brilliant. No,
just don't bring it to the show.
Damn.
I'm right. Really rude and ask if I could have like a small glass of that beer that you have, Jeff, as well, because I want to try that.
What I will do is I will save you some.
Save it.
Have you not tried this one?
No.
All right, okay.
Can I have that bottle of Shiraz that's there, please?
Yeah, knock yourself out. So.
So what we're going to do now is Beer and BS and the Philosopher's Pint Glass.
Whee!
So I will let Rachel go first. So we've got two questions each, pulled at random. And just as a bit of background, so anyone who's a guest on this show gets 6 randomly picked questions to fire at them. Some of them are pretty tame. Others are not pretty tame.
To be fair, I just read my question. It's pretty shit.
All right, okay.
I wrote it. Are you ready? This is the level of my intelligence.
Are these at me?
Yep. It's for you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm. And these are quick fire round.
Oh, fine.
Have you ever been lost?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Take a pick. Any European city that I've been to, I've been lost at some point.
Where's the most prominent that you can think of?
Oh, Dusseldorf with me and 2 friends.
Yeah.
We went past this, I always remember this massive arrow, and it was like, I've seen that arrow before, and then we realised it was a chain of garages.
Amazing. Oh, sorry
Nate,
about that.
What have you got?
Who is your favourite person, dead or alive?
Dead or alive, favourite person, Marcelo Bielsa at the minute. Absolute
who?
Legend.
Who?
Oh, The Godfather, Marcelo Bielsa.
Sorry, that's not my genre movie.
Leeds, not just Leeds legend, football legend, man. He's the Leeds United manager.
Okay.
I thought you were talking Scorsese then. And
oh, no. He's a lot better.
Have you ever watched The Godfather?
No.
Yeah, it's boring.
It nearly put me in a coma.
Yeah.
But the cast turn up, but...
Well, I just found the film so boring, actually, contemplating taking my own life.
All right, I think we've just lost half our listeners, because as far as I know, it's a well-known
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, well, iconic.
It is. It's
like Citizen Kane, but have you seen that?
Yeah, it's crap. What?
Why is that liked?
I'm lost a lot. Hang on a minute. Your question.
We're going to put it
on. There's some deference for people. Just.
Brilliant.
All right, again, this is a crap question. I'm throwing that one away.
I think I've read all of these. I'm really sorry.
I just can't read. This could be read out the wrong way, so I have to read this two or three times. All right, I'm going to go with what I think it says and not what I thought it said when I read it the first time. What is your most prized possession in your house?
Prized possession. It's going to be really boring again, but it's my Leeds drawing of all the kits over the years that my partner got me for Christmas last year. So it's hung pride and place in the hallway.
So take it, home. You're a Leeds United fan.
Only a bit.
Only nice.
Go on, Reg.
What colour are your pants?
What I've got on now?
Yeah.
I'm not wearing any.
They're blue with pizzas on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good work.
Are the pizzas a print or is he just a messy eater?
Lockdown's really affected me.
Brilliant.
Go on, Nathan.
So, sorry. This question will take some thinking up, actually. Yeah. What is the worst beer that you've ever drunk in your life and why? And I'm going to say this excludes kind of like Carlsberg and Foster's. I'm talking about the worst kind of craft beer or whatever you've drank, which is so irredeemably bad that even the fact it's made by like a nano brewery or something cannot redeem it.
Basically
one up from poison.
Not necessarily the worst, it's just that it wasn't enjoyable. I believe it's called Flying Monkey or Monkey 3000 or something. It's called something like that. It's basically it's the beer with the highest IBU rating in the world.
IBU being,
so it's like the bitter, it's most hoppy, bitterest beer.
Really?
And it was just like sucking a hop cone, man. I did it for the experience more than anything. Like, yeah. I knew it wasn't going to be that great. So we were at a beer festival and he was just like, oh, do you want to try this? I was like,
nice.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
And then all I could taste for like the rest of the decade was this just hops basically. I'm still using mouthwash daily to try and get rid of it.
Did it bring your lips up like a cat's bottom?
Very much so, yeah.
Just like, pack it up.
It's kind of like one of those things that people do it just because they can rather than they should.
Yeah.
It was that's the whole idea of it. Yeah, it's like I struggled to find how they got it that high, to be fair, but
they probably just, there you go. They probably didn't even like filter any of it. They probably just like soaked hops in water and just said, yeah, we'll stick some WD-4 in it or whatever. There we go. We'll put that up. Someone will drink that.
And Aaron did.
Yeah.
There you go. The one person.
What was it called again? Flying
Monkey. It's something, I can't remember the name of it. I was absolutely battered. But it was like Flying Monkey or Monkey 3 or something. I don't know.
Monkey
it was something.
3,000
I think it was 3,000 IBU anyway. I know nice. That. Oh. Which is ridiculously high, obviously.
Brilliant.
Okay, so if you could have.
Flying Monkey. I think it's that.
Sorry, why am I imagining Curious George on the cam like absolutely K-lined or something, something like a doll?
Great.
Whilst Nathan composes himself, Aaron, if you could have a disease named after you, what would the symptoms be?
Oh, it would have to be, not you don't have use of your legs, high fever, and just constant groaning.
That's
so being
what your
elderly,
disease
then.
Would be.
Doesn't that?
Aww.
Yeah, that would be fine. And lots of oozing as well.
You're just talking about sex now, aren't you?
Yeah. I've had a beer.
I was gonna say, where does oozing come into that?
That's like a bizarre question. Have you got an answer for that, Jeff? Have you got a disease?
I don't have to answer it.
Aww.
Why don't
you? Who else should answer that?
No. The deal is, you're new to the show or you're a guest, you get a question randomly picked from the bag. The philosopher's pint glass, even. I don't have to answer that.
Bizarre question. Great. Philosopher's pint bag.
Pint bag.
Right. So we're gonna move on. So this is gonna be a first as well. We're gonna do a proper review of something here. So I want to say we've all watched. And I'm just gonna say it's Mandaboring. By that I'll translate Mandalorian. I want to say we've all watched it, but I know some of us gave up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I went through it all.
Yeah. So I've watched it in full. Did you watch it in full, Nath?
Yeah, I watched it in full.
Okay.
We did well for Disney Plus ratings then, didn't we? All logging on.
Should we just have a little bit of reminder? So I got 30, 40 seconds of something to play here. So let's just do this. Sorry. That's what I thought The Mandalorian was.
Yeah.
But we'll just let this play for a moment.
Tense.
Is the world more peaceful since the revolution?
It's Werner Herzog.
That your people suffered. But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
No, it's fucking not.
I'm going to say no.
It was so dramatic before that.
They said you were coming. They said you were the best in the parsec. Would you agree?
I want Boris Johnson's voice at the end of this.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
Yeah? Good.
I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
All right, I'm just going to lay my cards out.
Go for it.
I fucking hated it. So does anyone want to put a positive spin on it first?
Yeah, the fact that you had Werner Herzog telling somebody dressed as like as Boba Fett basically saying, they told me you were coming. Basically made the entire series for me. I sort of enjoyed it, to be fair. I thought it was kind of like nice that Star Wars wasn't going like, you know, it's all Jedi and stuff like that. It was kind of nice to see like some kind of the like the actual supposed normal kind of civilizations and habitats in the Star Wars universe. But at the same time, it felt very cliched. It kind of felt like if this had been just a regular kind of if this had been like a new sci-fi television series, it would have been panned. But just because it had Star Wars on it, it got away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I did kind of like watching it, but at the same time, I thought this could have been done so much better. But the fact is, you got Werner Herzog saying to somebody, "They told me you were coming," which can be taken out of context, is fantastic, and that's why I think I'd.
So let's do a bit of background. So for those who haven't watched The Mandalorian, that might be interested, it's available on the newly launched Disney Channel.
Disney Plus. And
it's a spin-off TV series that covers the, I want to say race, they're not a race, but it kind of is
like a warrior culture.
A warrior culture of bounty hunters and, wouldn't say criminals, but
they're not really, but I think they're kind of more, it's more like kind of just a warrior cast, like the kind of, you know, they say like weapons of their religion.
Yeah.
Is it basically a career choice?
It's kind of, it's like a way of life. They're more like kind of.
Are you born into it?
No, I think they're more kind of inducted into it. Like much more like kind of, you know.
Indoctrinated.
It's a little bit like the Witcher sort of thing. Like he's sort of like taking it.
Yeah, apart from just with less imagination, really.
Yeah.
So the Disney Channel releasing a TV spin-off of the Star Wars sagas involving a bounty hunter who's given the task of collecting a bounty and returning it. And you watch his journey to get the bounty.
Just a bounty? Is it one bounty?
Well,
yes.
Is it?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, he picks someone up right at the beginning in the first episode, but you soon realise the second bounty he picks up is... this won't be a spoiler because if you're on any form of social media, you know there's a Baby Yoda in it.
Baby Yoda.
So his bounty baby that he's Yoda. Got to collect is the Baby Yoda. I've got a question, though. Why the fuck does he wear a cape?
Oh, and Baby Yoda?
No, not Baby Yoda. Mando.
To be honest, I would say, looking at it from my perspective, like, in fact, the Star Wars Extended Universe, not many of the Mandalorians actually wear cloaks because... When you've got that jetpack on, you know, when you've got flamethrowers in this, it's just a hindrance. Like, what is the point?
It's dramatic. Makes him look like a superhero.
Yeah, but it makes him look like it's kind of like, for example, wearing a flamethrower with the tank on the front of you. It's it's like kind of just pointless.
I didn't get the whole. His mask, I know, obviously, is the identifying feature that he's a Mandalorian, but I just could not get past it. I couldn't cope with watching the main character have his face covered the whole time. I just couldn't connect with it at all.
And this isn't defense, but it is in defense of the program, or the TV series. You do find out why.
Right.
Yeah.
But that adds...
obviously didn't.
But that adds... It's very hard to act without... visual cues to people's faces and expressions. And I don't think they did that well at all. There's no dialogue from the Mandalorian, really.
No. It doesn't speak at all, does it?
What did he say in that clip then? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Good.
Great. Deep.
It just always just tells Baby Yoda off for being a little shit, bit.
Well, yeah, it does. Like, I think the most...
Don't do that.
I think the most lines of dialogue he has is like he plays hell with Baby Yoda for doing something. And,
yeah.
I think there's an episode I'm going to say this is the worst episode in the entire series or season, which kind of, most of the episodes do kind of follow like some kind of story. Like,
but however thin it was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which is, yeah. The episode 6, I believe it was, he links up with some people who were apparently his friends, who were about as likable as a genital ulcer.
Dude.
I know the one you mean. And I'm going to expand on whatever you say now.
Yeah, you're talking to him and you're thinking, I can't even want to even kind of understand why he's friends with these people.
Nathan, I got to say to you, it was episode 6, it was called, I think, The Rescue.
Yeah.
Like yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did that not come across to you like a late 80s, like late 1980s Red Dwarf episode?
Yeah, it was the purple
apart
one.
Apart from even
was,
worse.
I can't remember her name, but the one
with
the
Twi'lek.
You said like tentacle head or something.
Yeah, Twi'leks.
She was just trying to build something like Harlequin or something, that sort of like character.
Yeah.
And she was just rubbish at it.
Her name was Shian.
Yeah.
All right, so, I'll say what I want to say about episode 6 in a moment, but you carry on now.
Yeah, and like, I forgot what race they are, that big guy with the horns, the guy who looked like a...
like Hellboy?
Yeah, Hellboy from Wish.com,
Wish.com.
I forgot the name of the race, but like... Yeah, he destroyed this droid right at the beginning and gave the position. And you think, no, if you're doing an operation like that, you would not take somebody who is going to jeopardize the entire thing by wanting to shoot a mouse droid, which Chewbacca snarled at in episode 4 and didn't do anything. All he had to do was just do something like that, and it'd have appeased all the fanboys and things like that.
Is Chewbacca in episode 4?
No,
he's in the film.
Sorry.
Yeah, I meant Star Wars Episode 4. No.
Sorry, fanboys.
Sorry.
Yeah, yes. In fact, no, I don't apologise to fanboys because they're the people who make the Star Wars community as toxic as it is.
So what I feel about Episode 6 was it had the production qualities of 1980s Red Dwarf. Mm. It was chubby as fuck.
Are you saying that as an insult? I'm sorry. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, no. And it was chubby as fuck. It was
I meant the Red Dwarf.
No. Well, Red Dwarf in the 1980s was absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
But if they pushed that out today, you'd be like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
That's chavvy as fuck. No. They were, it wouldn't have been.
that is not a saying but that the, people. And
where's Crichton's tracksuit? I don't get it.
Right. Okay. So you had Richard Ayoade, who played the android.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So
did
IT crap.
Did he play? Did it really?
Yeah.
Was it
so
him?
The,
I don't know.
And he just hammed that up totally. You couldn't have hammed it up even more if he'd been told to.
In fairness, I didn't think that was him.
I didn't. I'm really surprised.
I thought they'd literally just use some voice synthesis software. As I've heard that voice multiple times
on the IT crowd.
Not on the IT crowd, actually. I've heard it in other places.
And
was
HSBC
he able to do
advert.
A different voice then?
No.
All oh, right.
I saw it. I can't believe you didn't pick that up.
No, because
the one that pissed me off was Shian, played by Natalia Tina, who was in Game of Thrones.
Is who? Which character?
She played, I can't remember, Bran was the picked up the one of the slaves from the house.
So she
I say chavvy as fuck because she was super fucking chavvy. She had the worst fucking Cockney accent. And the only thing that pissed me off more were the appendages on her head that look so fake and plastic. Tentacles.
You know Twi'leks aren't real people, Jeff.
Yeah, I know, but come on. And then her brother, he pissed me off even more. It's like, you're one chavvy
tricky,
fuck. You got two of them.
To be fair... I kind of didn't find it. The thing is, none of the characters in that kind of particular thing were interesting.
No.
It's like, you know, they could have done it so much better. Like, for example, they could have made it like, you know, they could have had like a completely like black-haired Wookiee or something.
Well, the only thing that pissed me off...
who didn't actually say anything.
Yeah.
And kind of... The thing is that all of the characters were so stereotyped. Like,
actually Cockneys, these guys, then?
One of them was. Then there was one guy who was... But I think it was just kind of a hemorrhoid personified with horns. And there was this like kind of... Then there was the droid, which kind of sounded like an insect, which had had like a Dell computer chip like slammed into its head. I actually didn't listen to anything he was saying because it was so kind of... Like you say, Jeff, it was... I wouldn't say it was hammed up. It was kind of like so kind of over the top.
Like Brian the depressed robot out of...
No, that is not...
Not like him.
Like
Brian the Depressed Android.
Out of Hitchhikers, yeah.
I never understood that. It's an android, so therefore it's not alive. Why is it depressed?
Because it's funny.
Right, so
you're 42, on. That's funny. Yeah.
So I've actually read that Shian is actually going to be in the second season. I was hoping, like, halfway through that episode, it looked like he killed them all.
Yeah.
And
I was
at the end
generally
of the episode, they're still alive. I'm like, no.
I was actually disappointed at that, because I'm thinking... What kind of person leaves dangerous criminals like that alive to come after him? Especially when you know what the Star Wars universe is like.
Yeah.
Well,
the best thing he could have done...
He did leave them in a prison.
The thing, all he had to do was just say, yeah, I'm in the ship now, I will let you go. So they climb up the hatch, and then they're jettisoned into the void of space.
Yeah.
Another problem solved, but no, not for...
I'm glad you brought that episode, because that was the worst episode of them all. But, so I've been reading a bit about it, and I've heard that Katie Sackhoff is going to be in the second season.
Who?
So Katie Sackhoff is Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica, and she's an amazing actress. She was absolutely fantastic in that, and I'm a bit disappointed that she signed up for season two. It's going to be the end of her career.
Oh, no.
For me, anyway.
I couldn't see past the actors, especially, I don't know his real name, but Gus Fring out of Breaking Bad. Did they just watch Breaking Bad and say, ooh, he's cool, let's have him in it? He walks the same, talks the same. He's basically the same character.
Does he not have appendages on his head?
No, he's just normal, this kid. He's like just, basically Gus Fring in space.
Which episode
really?
Was this in?
I think it's, I can't remember, but it's the bit where they're like locked in a house and he's like the big general dude.
Does he sell fried chicken?
He probably does somewhere, in Tatooine or something, yeah. The other thing as well is...
You're so keen to press that button.
Yeah, you got it in. The other thing is, I was talking about the actors that are in it as well. Whenever I saw, I don't know his name again, Apollo Creed.
Oh, Carl Weathers.
Yeah, it's like, God, he looks old. I couldn't take him seriously.
I couldn't, because he just sounded literally exactly the same.
Yeah,
as he
yeah,
does
yeah.
He,
I expected Rocky Balboa to come out and or Ivan Drago be the main enemy. Or something.
In fairness, actually, I don't think Dolph Lundgren would actually be bad in starting the Mandalorian. He'd actually come across quite well.
Yeah, probably.
I think what race you'd have Dolph Lundgren. Well,
I think we've got to bring up Werner Herzog.
Yeah,
I think. Dialogue-wise, Werner Herzog was. I just thought, why they cast? I know why did Werner Herzog even agree to appear in it? I just thought that totally isn't his kettle of fish. But I actually think if there was a high point in it, it was Werner Herzog.
I'm sorry. And what did he do? Who's he?
He told the Mandalorian, "I knew you were coming."
Is that him?
Oh, yeah,
right.
Him. Yeah, that's him.
And I don't know the actor. Dude.
In fairness, Werner Herzog Werner Herzog, actually, you thought he might add some gravitas to the kind of,
I think he did.
And yeah, he did. He came across as, you could generally see him as some kind of imperial, as an imperial commander.
But did he not come across quite dark, quite seedy? There was definitely a break from the lightness and the whole kind of Disney let's sell Baby Yoda toys to
Werner Herzog saying about when the Mandalorians ejaculated and...
What?
Which, for all we know, because you can't see his face, he could well have done whilst he was sat there speaking to Werner Herzog. But, I kind of found it slightly hard to watch with Werner Herzog, mainly because I just remember seeing an interview with Werner Herzog, actually. I think it was Mark Kermode who was interviewing him. And Werner Herzog was shot with an air rifle during the interview. I think it was an air rifle. I think someone tried to kill him during the interview. He was then shot and then just carried on talking as if nothing had happened.
That is bad.
I kind of was hoping that... I'd have loved it, for example, in the last... Well, spoiler alert here, if you've not watched it, tough. when they destroyed the house and everything, if Werner Herzog had, been shot and then started then still carried on talking to them as if nothing had happened.
And then Mark Kermode walks off set.
yeah, there's just Mark Kermode sat near the door,
with a BB gun in his hands.
What, dressed as... I'm trying to think...
A stormtrooper with a BB gun.
I just think it'd be funny if he was dressed as, a Tusken Raider or something like that instead, and then just puts the mask casually back on and walks out as if nothing's happened.
I'm just going to bring up another thing I didn't like about it, and I thought, to a certain extent, it didn't upset me that much, but the scene where they were punching Baby Yoda in the head.
Yeah.
So I think it was either the last... episode or the
yeah it was the last episode because I've actually gone through the entire box set of chips now to find out where they've stolen that from.
Well, just to put a bit of background, so you've got two stormtroopers who sat outside the town. They've got Baby Yoda in a saddlebag and it's wriggling around a bit, and one of the and it's just the most bottom of the barrel cheesy conversation, some of the worst dialogue I've ever heard.
I want to see it. You only want to see it because I've seen it. Shut up. Fuck off.
I can understand.
They're talking about Yoda.
Physically punching a baby in the head. Just stop moving. No. It stops moving. I think you killed it. We best check. No, I told you, you're not going to have a look. Let's check.
Is that what they say?
And then they punch it again.
Oh, God.
The other thing that's annoying as well is the very, very... You know the Jawas?
Yeah. Oh, the Jawas, yeah.
Whatever they're called.
The Jawas.
Whatever they are. They're just a very stereotypical version of, galaxy gypsies.
I was
going to
say, be careful what you say.
I've heard that before.
It's not very nice.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
To be fair, the Jawas are kind of a race of nothing more than kind of criminals. That's why I felt more sympathy again watching Star Wars Episode 4 when the Sandcrawler is destroyed. As if I had been a stormtrooper and we'd say, for example, landed on Tatooine or whatever, and I'd found my car stolen or whatever, stripped of parts.
Yeah, stripped of parts. It would have been stolen. Yeah, you would have come back and found a door missing.
Yeah, just the chassis there, and that would have been it. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you'd be that angry. You'd be that furious. You would go and I can totally just... I think for me, the second episode of The Mandalorian was actually probably the strongest. Because you kind of could see the visual frustration of, he's lost his ship's been stripped of parts.
Mm. that they managed to fix really, really quickly.
He had the person who was an Ugnaught, that was it, who after every time he spoke said, "I have spoken."
I have spoken.
What's his name?
The pig man?
No,
the
I don't know.
I kind of felt that was quite irritating. I just think it'd have been quite cool when the stormtroopers killed him on that bike if they said, "You have spoken," and then rode off. I mean, that kind of got old pretty fast.
Yeah. And
I don't mean to be talking going on, but he's...
You're the only one that's properly watched it, I think.
No. The stormtrooper thing, that was such a missed opportunity as well.
Nick Nolte.
Who?
Nick Nolte.
Who's he?
The guy who read, I Have Spoken.
Oh, I don't know who Nick Nolte
is. Actor?
Oh, come on, you must know who Nick Nolte is.
I generally don't know who he is.
Is he the guy? Oh, no.
Have I seen any films with him?
Nick Nolte?
Sounds like a great name. Like a McNugget.
Cape Fear.
It's not Nick Knowles, the guy who used to present that property programme.
All right, well,
I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
If you don't know Nick Nolte, we're not having that conversation. I'm sure our listeners, and I'm sure most of our listeners will agree with me on that one.
One thing that I would say was good about it is the nostalgia trip that I sort of went on, like, as a kid. I absolutely love Star Wars. Like, it was really when, like, sort of, like...
Aren't you jaded by that, though?
Not really. I was sat watching it, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, I remember when, like, I was running around the garden, you know, with my cousin.
Pretending you're a TIE fighter.
Yeah, and, like, you know, oh, Jedi, I'm using Force and stuff, and my cousin, like, moving the swing, going, ooh. Like, oh, it's happening. I think, in fact...
hang on a minute. You've had 8 films since to learn...
The Force.
You're going to be disappointed every time. Yeah. In my opinion, and I think we did this in a previous episode, I don't think there's been a decent film since Empire.
No.
I disagree. I think the Life Day one was the best, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I like Aaron.
In fact, they had a reference to Life Day in Mandalorian. What was it?
Oh, it was said, yeah. Oh, it was when he. I think it's when he picks up that bounty on that... I think it's like in the first 5 minutes, he said, "Oh, hopefully I can make it back planetside for Life Day." And I just creased up laughing.
That's right. So that's the only time Life Day's ever been mentioned in the Star Wars movies, other than Life Day, the movie, which I don't even think in Life Day was mentioned in it, was it?
I don't think it was, no. But in fact, going back to what you're saying about nostalgia, actually.
I
did feel nostalgic and then realised that's basically what Star Wars has been capitalising on since 2000. Yeah. It's just nostalgia. Yeah. And it's
the point, isn't it?
Fuck nostalgia.
It is.
I'm giving up on Star Wars now. I'm never watching another Star Wars piece of shit.
Jeff, just play KOTOR again. That's all I do. Play Knights of the Old Republic again. That's all.
It brought back one memory for me, really, that was quite good that I'd like to share with you.
I haven't got any soft music for this bit.
No. It's not Star Wars. Well, it kind of is. As I say, as a kid, I was like obsessed with like special effects and things like that. I was watching things going, "Oh my God, how have they done that? That's so amazing." And it's not Star Wars, but I remember as a kid, I mean, how old are you when you're in like year 3?
About 7.
7, yeah.
7 or 8.
I was 7, yeah.
Yeah. So I watched The Matrix with my uncle.
Yeah,
I know it's not Star Wars, but he knew I was so obsessed with special effects, and obviously The Matrix has its fair share.
Yeah,
and he told me he was the stuntman for The Matrix.
For Nero.
For everyone. So he said he taught everyone how to do every single move. So where Morpheus jumps up and spins around, and you know when Neo does like his bullet thing and he fights all the guys. I went to school. The next day, telling everyone that my uncle did the moves for The Matrix, and a kid, I can't remember his name.
His uncle, wasn't it?
No. He said, "No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I've seen it. No, he didn't." I went, "Look at the credits. It says Uncle Richard." As if, like, it would just say Uncle Richard. And then, so he came back the next day and said, "I've watched it. It don't even say Uncle Richard." I then thought in my head, if my uncle can do the moves off The Matrix, so can I.
Genetic.
It's genetic.
I then went into what I can only describe as a twisting vortex of limbs that... In my mind, I was doing quite well. I thought, oh, look at me, I'm cool. But I don't mean just like, it's not even if, as if like people came around and were like, oh, it's a big fight. I just flipped and just did. I remember running along a bench and jumping off and see that.
You know what, every time I come and order, every time I come in and order a pint off you now, I'm just going to call you Neo.
Yeah, honestly, not Nero. Sorry,
I'm going to dig my black trench coat out for you now.
I thought
I'll have a pint of blonde Neo,
and it had to take a teacher to explain to me that my uncle probably didn't do the moves for
them. Shattered your dream.
Oh, no. I'm going to say, that's actually quite heartbreaking, because what a teacher had to explain to you, I'm sorry, I think your uncle may have told a massive lie about, to a child, particularly at that age, which is quite impressionable.
Bless you.
It's like finding out Father Christmas doesn't exist.
What?
I'm sorry, but he doesn't exist.
You can't just drop a bomb like that, jeez.
I just did, didn't you hear me?
Father Chris has been to Rachel's house today.
Absolutely. I gave him his summer solstice.
He delivered a box of BrewDog.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, coming as a biologist as well, Jeff, you know that reindeer are not capable of flight.
Please let's not do this debate. Don't shatter my dreams.
The kids watching this.
Well, I'm going to say, did you know they're all female as well?
The reindeer?
Yeah.
No.
They don't have antlers, do they?
No.
Ah, good point.
Feminist, that is. Girl power.
That is interesting, though, because when you see Christmas Santa cats, is a pioneer. They all have...
all right, we're going way off topic here. name your reindeer.
There was Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
Oh, cool.
Donner and something and something and...
We're gonna come on to your vocal tones in a moment.
Yay!
So let's move on. I'll tell you what. Before we do, I want, and I don't want decimal places.
Okay.
1 to 10, Mandalorian.
I'd give, so I can't use any kind of fractions or anything.
Yeah, fractions count as decimals.
Give a whole number.
Bollocks. I'd give it six out of 10.
Okay, wow.
That's pretty high.
You gave it a pretty hard time, I think. The 6 out of 10 is pretty high.
The 6 out of 10 mainly was because of Werner Herzog saying, I knew you were coming. And the endless, enjoyment I've had just because of that.
All right, Rach, how many, well, first, before you give your rating, how many episodes did you watch before you thought about this?
Didn't even get through one. Good. Totally fell asleep. Saw Baby Yoda. That was enough for me. I'd give it one.
I'm out.
How about you, Aaron?
I didn't mind it. I thought it was fun. I didn't hate it. I do get the feeling that it was only made because Disney Plus needed something to be made. So for that, 7.
Wow, are a lot higher than I expected. Yeah.
Well, what's yours? I'm going 1.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's only because, I don't know, does 0 count as a number? I don't know.
Well, it depends, really. We're going to really dive off topic here.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
I'm sorry, but Jeff, just imagine, Werner Herzog, the director of...
Stop. So this is my final point.
Whoa.
This is my final point on The Mandalorian. Okay. If it did not have Baby Yoda on it, would it have reached that critical mass?
No.
There you go.
It wouldn't have done. And I actually kind of came into watching it thinking, I'm going to dislike Baby Yoda immensely.
But he's cute.
Yes, I don't think Aaron's aware that this mic picks up every sound in the building.
I know, he's running about. He's running about.
I love that.
He isn't taking a pee, he's running about.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me, Rachel.
You're welcome.
I know I keep ranting on about it, but like you've got Werner Herzog, the director of, for example, Fitzcarraldo and Aguirre, Wrath of Gods.
Amazing backlog of films.
Yeah.
Shall
I?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're amazing films. And then I almost thought, they've just given him this role in Star Wars, and you think, this is an easy payday for me. I don't have to get shot in the arm while being interviewed by Matt Kerbo.
It's true, yeah.
Then he has to quote about a Mandalorian ejaculating and how he knows about it. And that's why I give it the score I did.
Okay.
Okay, so I think watch check out on YouTube some Werner Herzog interviews. He's definitely a really, really interesting character. He's got an amazing voice.
Yeah.
He sounds
is he
sounds
German?
He is Bavarian, maybe. But he's definitely German. He sounds like Fargon from our D&D group.
I just
have to add that in case anyone from the D&D group listens.
Hi, D&D.
Anyway, let's put...
Dear me.
I was shelving
it's not
them
that funny, Nath.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Well, what was so funny?
It's the coming, come on.
All right, we can talk about Cummings later in the show. There is a point to what I just said, but you'll have to wait a bit.
I just love the fact that Aaron just helped himself. What a legend.
Oh, to a beer.
Yeah. Snuck off for a wee.
Right. I'm going to move us on because we're extending into this podcast. So let's do beer and bullshit.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm sure Aaron's aware of this because he's listened to the other shows. I'm going to throw five statements at you when Nathan's calmed down.
We left it even Stevens.
No. I'm scrapping that.
What?
Hey. Ooh.
Oh, that suits me. That's fine.
Controversy.
Yeah, you would help.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, with Aaron on board, we're going to do this properly.
Clear the board.
So I'm not going to take count, but what I'm going to do is bring the results into the next episode and we'll do it that way. So today, fresh start. So I'm going to give you five statements.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me true or false. So the first question, I'm going to throw at you. Nathan gets to answer last on that one.
Oh.
So that he doesn't interfere with your thought processes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw these statements here. You have to think out aloud. Tell me what you think. Are they beer? True. Are they bullshit? False.
Bullshit.
Okay. So let's do this. Mm. So... Based on a I did this for you, Nathan. Happy birthday.
Oh, cheers.
Based on a 2003 find, what is thought to be T-Rex's closest living relative? An alligator, a cassowary, a chicken, or a pigeon?
That is not a true or false question.
No. I'm asking you, so...
Oh, so we've got to...
You've got to tell me which you think. So chicken. They won't always be true and false, but you're going with chicken,
are
you?
Yeah, it's a chicken.
Yeah, they always go on about dinosaurs and feathers. Oh.
All right, what do you reckon, Nathan?
I would probably actually say... I'd probably say it probably is a chicken, actually.
What were the options?
There's cassowary, I think they're kind of more developed from... I think they've kind of evolved more from, like, the kind of... cassowaries have probably evolved more from, like, kind of the predatory birds.
What is it?
What's a cassowary?
So cassowary is a very dangerous animal. They're usually found in northern Queensland.
Is it a bird?
A very tight, compact ostrich.
It's kind of like an ostrich that's aggressive, brightly coloured ostrich.
It is very aggressive, more powerful.
Is it the thing that kicks you and it's got a claw on its foot?
Yes.
Right, I know what it is now.
Like a raptor.
Yeah, like the
velociraptors, correct me if I'm wrong, were turkey size. Well, they weren't. They were chicken size, actually. But velociraptors were tiny.
Yeah, the kind of the ones in Jurassic Park are based more off Deinonychus, which is like basically a giant velociraptor.
Utahraptors?
Utahraptors were even like... Well, Deinonychus was kind of like about 1.5 meters tall or something. Utahraptor. Yeah, they're probably more like kind of... The ones in Jurassic Park are kind of more like in between Deinonychus and Utahraptors.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as you can see, this is Nathan's subject, and we just have to do it again for his birthday.
That's fine.
Great piece.
I
challenge anyone to sue us using that because it's Nathan's birthday and it's made him smile.
I don't think John Williams will mind.
Hang on.
Classic.
Seems like a decent bloke.
Hang on, Universal just phoned me up.
He's got his phone out, everybody.
So, cease and desist. All right, fair enough.
Right, you're all going. What were you all going on that? You were going with the...
With the chicken.
Chicken. Is it?
We don't find out yet.
Okay, so moving on. So that was paleontology. So we're going to go on to physics now.
Okay.
Quick question. Do you want to know what a neutron star is?
Not really.
So I will do the definition of a neutron star. Okay. And I'm sure people will complain possibly. So a neutron star is a dead star. So when a star... like our sun will at some point, loses enough energy that it can no longer expel protons out.
Mm.
It collapses in on itself.
Right.
Okay, and it reaches such a density that the weight of it, if you were to get a teaspoon of a neutron star, it would weigh 10 million tons, or the equivalent of 1 million Eiffel Towers inside a single teaspoon. True or false? Beer or bullshit?
Wow. If that's true, that's phenomenal.
I mean, just, space just, is weird, isn't it? So probably, yeah.
Just to play devil's advocate here, how big is the teaspoon?
Right, so...
Teaspoon is a standard measurement.
What about if it's like a giant teaspoon? Right, well,
it's not a teaspoon.
I'll give you a bit more background on that. So when our star collapses, it will shrink to the size of about Manhattan.
Okay.
And that mass is in that size. It's about, I think, a radius of about 10K. 10 kilometers.
Yeah.
It will have...
Manhattan's only 10K. Sorry.
The radius of the neutron star.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So 1 million Eiffel Towers in a single teaspoon. True or false? Beer or bullshit?
I'm going to say yeah.
I think it's beer.
I'm going to say beer, yeah. Because space is like...
Mind-blowing.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just don't understand how they came up with a conclusion that it's like, what was it, 10 million tons inside of a spoon.
Because it's a measurement you can think about as
mass,
a human being.
Mass, it's the amount of mass that would be compacted into that size, given the gravity of the amount of material. It just collapses it on itself so densely.
Right.
You would have the equivalent of 10 million tons of matter in that teaspoon.
Are you just imagining some kind of robotic arm off of a
I'm just imagining what materials this teaspoon made of to kind of be able to hold all this together. Surely shouldn't it just shatter it?
Nathan's literal brain, everybody.
I think you're thinking this.
I'm going to say it's probably true, I was just trying to comprehend like a teaspoon being able to hold 10 million tons of matter.
I will help you with that and smoothly move on to genetics.
Fantastic.
Ooh. Wow.
So, of all of us in this room,
we
share 75% of our DNA with each other. So, 75% of our DNA is identical to each other's DNA.
Well, that's 25% nice. Of mine and his is the beard, so we're all right.
So, effectively, we share 3/4 of the same genetic information.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Pure bullshit.
I'd say that's true.
I might go controversial. I reckon it might be more.
Okay.
I reckon it might have even
much,
higher
man.
Percentage. Do you?
No, I don't think it's that.
We're all the same underneath,
so,
Aaron.
No, I get that.
So, Aaron, you're going beer.
I think it's less.
It's not a trick question. It's like, you think it's less?
I think it's less.
So you're saying it's bullshit.
Yeah.
I think it's bullshit more.
You think bullshit more, you think bullshit less.
Bullshit less.
And you're going beer.
I'm going to say I think... For anyone who's wondering why I've been stammering
keep
after that, it's because I've got chronic back pain from
and an
sat
incredible
in this
beard.
Plastic chair, and I keep like reclining backwards all the time. So if there's any kind of audio issues, I do apologise from the bottom of my heart.
Come on, just tell us, beer or bullshit.
I think it's false. I think it's kind of more closer to like in the like probably high 90s of genetic material.
What does Rachel think?
Oh, now we're getting into figures. High 90s.
Yeah.
I'll go high 80s. Lower than Nathan. Mid ground.
I'm saying 64.
So that's going to...
Not that it matters.
64.
So you're all using your bullshits on this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here
is
we
it,
go.
Is there only one bullshit?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you've used your bullshit.
Fast award.
Meteorology. The country with the most tornadoes per square mile is the United Kingdom.
Oh,
yeah,
fuck. What?
I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, I think that's true as well.
Wait, no. Hang on, Aaron, a little clue. So when you say that you're trying to beat these guys, and when you say I've heard this before, you're coming from a...
Yeah,
a
but I'm a
know
no,
this
no,
for,
no,
yeah,
you
no
see.
I know this for a fact. They're just going to follow you
But it's a poker face, isn't it? They think I'm dumb. They're like, oh, don't follow him. He's stupid. He just thought that they thought 64% genetic. It's mind games, Jeff.
I'm not playing poker with you.
What? Say it again.
Nope.
So the country with the most tornadoes per square mile is the United Kingdom.
No way.
No way.
I would say it probably is. For the main reason, because tornadoes per square mile, when you have huge areas of landmass, they're going to have more tornadoes per square mile than somewhere which doesn't have, less tornadoes per square mile than somewhere, a country that's really small.
Yeah, do we have loads of tornadoes?
What about the United States, though?
They have loads of tornadoes in America.
But the size of the United States compared to the United Kingdom.
So you mean it dilutes that factoid?
Yeah.
Nathan, you're being too clever here.
Oh, sorry.
You're making it boring.
Well, we can't do bullshit. We've all used it, so...
All right, so Nathan's going beer. Yeah, Rachel's going...
Can I use the second bullshit?
You can.
Yeah, I'm going bullshit.
All right, bullshit.
Beer.
All right. Oh. Okay. Biology/gynecology.
Wow. These topics.
Gynecology, right.
Up until the 1960s, doctors determined if a woman was pregnant by injecting her urine into a female frog. If the frog laid eggs within a day, due to the hormones in the pregnant woman's urine, it was considered positive. Beer or bullshit.
So you can impregnate a frog with a woman's urine?
I didn't say impregnate. I said inject.
They're not fertilized, are they? So they lay eggs.
But the hormones in the woman's urine would force the frog
to lay eggs.
I know they did some wacky shit back in the day, but I'm not having that.
They linked them in.
Which country was this in?
Okay.
France.
I would imagine. I'm going to say.
It's definitely France. It's definitely France.
So sorry to any listeners in France.
For the record, I haven't pissed anyone off in this show yet.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm doing a good job.
Wow.
I'm going to say England, but yeah. Up until the 60s, doctors determined if a woman was pregnant by injecting her urine into a female frog.
60s? Okay, we knew more.
I'm going to say, these doctors in question, were any of these doctors mentally ill at the time when this was done?
Come on, give us a beer or bullshit.
I'm going to say it's true because it sounds so ridiculous. Like, let's inject waste water into an amphibian to determine if the person whose liquid... waste liquid's been injected into this amphibian is pregnant.
Wow.
It's so stupid.
Surely there were pregnancy tests in the 60s. Surely. Like pee on a stick kind of pregnancy stick.
I'm saying bullshit.
There could be some correlation or something with like the hormones in like pregnant women's urine, which can have some adverse effects on amphibians laying eggs.
I'm sure it has adverse effect on loads of things.
There could actually be something in that, mainly because of just how stupid it is. So I'm going to say it's true.
So it's not witchcraft.
Well, it's legitimised witchcraft. It's okay.
Could they use a better egg, like a frog?
That's the thing I don't understand. It's using an amphibian.
How often do frogs lay eggs normally?
To be fair, frogs do lay an awful lot of eggs. That's why, like, you know, there's loads and loads and loads of tadpoles, but not because it's kind of like the same kind of birthing pattern as what turtles do, where basically they lay loads and loads and loads of eggs, but unfortunately, half the poor little buggers don't make it.
All right.
Bullshit.
Bullshit.
I'm going to say it's true.
Beer. Yeah, bullshit.
Bullshit. Okay, so I will sum these up.
Is that five questions?
For the next, it was.
Wow.
Okay, so let's go back. So, I got to say, you were right.
Huh? Yeah.
Yep. So, according to the 2003 find, based on collagen, that was found in a T-Rex bone by accident. In fact, if I remember rightly from what I was reading, they were trying to remove a giant T-Rex bone into a helicopter. Mm. And
it flew.
What, the bone took fire on its own?
No, they couldn't fit it in the helicopter, so they had to break the bone in half. Now, what you wouldn't usually do that because it was an important find. It went to a museum or it was sold on. But... So typically, when you dig up bones, you don't break them up.
Get a bigger helicopter.
So they don't find genetic information. But it just so happened, they could have got a bigger helicopter and we wouldn't have known this. But they managed to find collagen in this bone.
Wow.
Then they did genetic analysis on this, and it's thought to be one of the closest living relatives being the chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, so physics, true. 10 million tons or a million Eiffel Towers would fit into a single teaspoon if you managed to dip it into a neutron star and lift it up.
That's amazing.
No, that is incredible. Does it say what kind of material the teaspoon would need to be made of? I just love the visualization of it. It's like just like kind of giant robotic kind of just scooping in like it's going for an ice cream with this teaspoon.
I think if you bought a Wilko's teaspoon, it wouldn't work. But if you had a Marks and Spencer's teaspoon, you'd probably hold up.
Okay, so anyone who works in Marks and Spencer's or particularly responsible for their cutlery, please let us know if that can actually handle 10 million tons of mass, please.
Moving on, so we're going to go that genetics. Yeah, a bit disappointed about this, Rach, you're right.
What?
That was bullshit. We share between 99 and 99.9% of our DNA with each other.
Nathan you two was more
went,
important.
You two
more
went lower, close. So you both got that wrong.
No, Nathan went high.
I said it.
High.
I said you did. I said it was about like 99.8%.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah,
Nathan was closest.
Yeah, you're right. I do remember now. Nathan got closest. And Nathan, you got the full point on that.
Yeah.
I'll give you half a point. Thanks. I'll give you half a point, Matt. I'm sorry, Aaron. You got that wrong. You went lower.
No way I'm up.
90 what? 99 point?
Well, the first study suggested 99.9%.
Wow.
And then someone went back over the data, and I'm sure there's a huge difference between 99.9 and 99%. It's closer than 99%.
Well, I was just thinking that mainly because I know that we share 90% of our DNA with bananas.
And a cucumber, aren't we? Like
40, I think.
Is it 40?
I think it's 40%.
In a cucumber, aren't we most genetically similar to a cucumber?
I know there's some fruit or something where like it's
I think it's 40% with a banana, but chimpanzees about 98%, and pigs we're very related to because they use pigs for I don't know if they still do actually insulin and organs. But anyway, let's move on swiftly to
we're all the same underneath, Aaron. God.
Given the current climate, 99.whatever percent we are. It's just bollocks, isn't
basically
it?
Basically the same.
It's complete bullshit.
The thing is, at the end of the day, at a party, you went with your father and left with your mother.
We're all inbred as fuck.
I'm gonna have to think on that later.
Sorry about that. I mean, it didn't happen to me because I was obviously born in space, so it's totally.
Between 1980 and 2012, the UK, United Kingdom, had more tornadoes than any other country in the world.
Between what?
1980 and 2012. So on a year-by-year basis, the USA might have more tornadoes per se.
Yeah.
But over an extended period of time, the UK has more tornadoes.
Wow.
Is there any correlation to when these tornadoes happen and when the Tory party conference is on?
Is it just when Theresa May runs through fields of... Okay, biology, gynecology. That was beer.
Yeah.
So apparently,
in the 60s.
You pissed on a frog. Pregnant or not, I don't know.
So you're telling me that England won the World Cup and then the day after some woman pissed on a frog and she was pregnant?
Probably, yeah.
That's absolutely...
It was the sexual revolution, wasn't it?
And she gave birth and his name was George.
Before this, frogs... Before frogs, rabbits and mice were used, but these had to be killed and dissected in order to tell if the hormones had any effect on the animal. So that's why they went with pissing on frogs because it was more humane. Them.
Wow. Yeah.
It's all right if you piss on a frog, but a mouse, bloody hell.
I don't know how a frog's felt about this.
Did someone lick it after for the year?
Oh, Rach, you're taking this too far.
Hallucinogenic.
That's toads, isn't it?
What kind of bizarre fetishist are you?
Did anyone lick it?
Did anyone lick a frog pregnant women's urine on it?
Just meant, you know...
Just meant you know.
You've been spending too much time on the internet.
All right, Rachel's been living in a little polythene grief tunnel.
Sorry, I just can't.
I've been so excited to talk to people today, and this is where my thought process is going.
You've crawled out of your little polythene grief tunnel, and you've expressed your strangest and weirdest kinks.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, if anyone is interested in frogs covered in urine, then hit Rachel up.
I'll piss on a frog for you.
There will be someone who's out there taking right. that seriously.
Someone is definitely Facebook messaging you.
Oh dear.
Stop.
We're going to have to censor the page, I think. Yeah. Comments disabled out. For it.
Okay, so I really want to know what my beer is now. So,
oh, true, oh,
yes,
yeah.
yes.
And we'll do this in a moment, but there is a reason to this. Nathan gets to open his last. So, Rach, can we start with you?
Okay. I think it could be what I was talking about. Is it? I think it might be from my... Oh, God, I can't get it out. From my delivery.
Do you think you got a brew dog, have you?
I think I've got a brew dog collab. I can't get it out, the thing.
Have you glued it in?
I only put Pritt stick in it.
I have to rip it.
Do you want me to help you?
I've done it. It is, I can see. It is a brew dog roaster coaster.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. I've got some of these at home to enjoy.
I haven't tried that yet.
So it's a collab between Evil Twin and Brewdog.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Freaking awesome. It is so good. It's such a nice, like, dessert beer.
What's the percentage on that?
I can't get to that bit. Oh, God.
Yay.
Well done.
Thank you. 9? Wow. That will explain the frog weed.
No, she did
it's
right
9%.
Tonight.
What have you done to me?
It's all right, we got gold.
It's a Nitro Imperial Vietnamese coffee stout, and it's freaking awesome.
That sounds amazing.
It's so good.
I might have
Vietnamese coffee
you.
Anyway. Yeah, I'll let you have some. Vietnamese coffee anyway is just amazing, as in from Vietnam.
Cool.
And it is. It's chocolatey. It's nutty notes, oats and wheat.
Give me a 1 to 10 on that with decimals.
Oh, it's a 10. It's a 10 out of 10.
Bloody hell.
It's a 10 out of 10.
It's a winner.
It's a winner. Chicken
well done,
dinner.
Nathan.
9%, Nathan. What are you doing to me?
Well, I have one of those for my breakfast every day. So it's
in a power shake.
Go on, Aaron. Legit. Open yours up.
Here we go. So, see. I don't want to slice my hand open. Go, who wrapped this in?
Me. Just rip it. Oh, God.
Get out of it. Camden.
It's a Camden!
Yeah. Off menu IPA.
That's a newbie, that is, an off menu.
Yeah. I've not had that before, actually.
So, what percentage is that?
It is. Hang on a minute, you can never find him, can you? A 5.8, that. I thought it was weaker than that. Mm. As I was saying, didn't have a lot of body, and I thought it was weaker than that. But, no, it's good. It's, as I say, I did say it had fruitiness in there and things like that. So, yeah, no, it's definitely.
So, what style is it?
IPA.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Camden, though. I really like
Camden.
Their pale.
Yeah, I do like Camden.
And their Hells. It's really good.
Yeah, the Hells is very good. Mm. Yeah, it is nice.
We've been ranking our beers 1 to 10 with decimals. What would you put that on the scale?
I'd give it a... with decimals, sorry.
Mm. If you fail, I mean, you could do it as a straight 6. But if you want to do 6.1...
Yeah, it's
just because you could do 6 of one beer 1 week and 6 of the next
beer
next
week. Yeah,
and then
it's not quite as... Go 5.8 for that.
5.8,
yeah,
good.
It's not.
Same as percentage.
Oh,
that's what the percentage was. Yeah, nice.
So I've got my beer. My beer has got a picture of a teddy bear with cool sunglasses on it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And a gangster chain around his neck. this beer is called An Overwhelming Surplus of Diggity.
Diggity?
What a name.
Diggity.
That is pretty cool.
Diggity.
And the writing is so tiny on this. Do you know what the ABV is?
10.5.
10.5?
There we go. Fuck me.
Blimey.
I told you I drink strong stuff.
Wow.
But alcohol hit me right at the beginning.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
You can taste
I've not, it. I've not actually tried that one.
Well, there's plenty in there for you to try.
Good man.
I'm sure.
Pass it over.
You could probably smell the alcohol from here.
Have some.
Nice. So who's that by, sorry?
So that is... Pomona Island.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Who I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I've been drinking a lot.
I've got to add that during the podcast, that beer has grown on me.
Yeah.
Mm. And you get kind of acclimatized to the level of alcohol in it.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't normally drink one of them, well, either on my own. Normally, if I'm drinking... I would have someone else with me and would share the can between us.
Yeah.
Or if I do have it on my own, it would be, you know, it'd be something that I sip throughout an entire film or something, you know, so it takes like 2 hours or 2 hours and a half to drink. So,
or if you're watching The Godfather, you have two cans of it because of how long the film goes.
Yeah. I'm asleep halfway through.
So flavour-wise, it's quite fruity. Not in a kind of traditional sense, but definitely like your first taste of it. I don't know if you'll agree with me, but you won't know until you try it. But my first taste was mango and alcohol.
Mm. Mm. And it was pale, yeah?
Yeah, I mean the flavour.
It was a little bit hazy.
Mm.
So, yeah. Nice. I'm going to give that quite high, actually, because that has grown on me. I'm going to give it 7.2.
Well done. Well done.
Good, good. Nath, go for yours.
Where are we? Right, so mine is...
It's the 22nd of June, Nathan's birthday.
Yep. So if anyone is trying to commit bank fraud and using my stolen identity, you know what my birthday is now. So I have got BrewDog's... Barnard Castellitis.
Yay!
I was actually hoping for Tower of London colonoscopy, but you can't have it all. Can't yeah, that was.
So I think Nathan, you'll probably do this best. So give our listeners not in the UK a bit of background on Barnard Castellitis.
Okay. Well, the name Barnard Castellitis is derived from. With the coronavirus lockdown that we've had, the Prime Minister's senior advisor, who looks like Gollum, who's done an IT degree and
like five years,
has stolen his grandmother's glasses, drove from London all the way up to County Durham, which is about 250 miles.
It's a long way.
During the lockdown, when people were being, people were being arrested for kind of going to the park and you know, and stuff like that, and you know, like the guys on the steps of the Corn Exchange, you know, where they sort of couldn't drink the Blackthorn cider anymore and things like that. So he went all the way up there. He then, because apparently he said the coronavirus had affected his eyesight, quite how I don't know, but
because he was so unwell.
Well, yeah, but to test his eyesight rather than do something normal, like you know. You know, try and read a book or something, or like go for a potter about. Yeah, or go for a potter around in the house. He went on a half an hour drive to Barnard Castle
with
his son and wife in the car.
4-year-old son.
Yeah, and it's just quite rubbish, isn't it?
Yes,
madness.
Well, that's like why I said, well, I'm off to the Tower of London for a colonoscopy. Basically, yeah. It's
just the hypocrisy of it, really, that annoys me more than anything.
I'd probably say it's a general, it's just offensive
to
anybody with any kind of level of intelligence.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, you can't be serious. That is some bullshit right there.
No, he did. He actually said that. The fact that he didn't even apologise. Yeah. If he'd have said, I drove up there to go to the off licence to buy 8 cans of Federation Ace Lager.
Yeah.
I'd have said, fair play.
Fair play.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I went up there so I could sit in the woods and drink Carlsberg Special Brew.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Fair enough. I'd actually say, enough, mate.
Yeah.
Have you seen the thing on Netflix? Is it Brexit?
Brexit, the Uncivil War.
Yeah.
I watched it the other day. Yeah, it's actually brilliant.
It's very, very good, isn't it?
And Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. He's actually a very intelligent bloke, isn't he?
Totally.
And he's a good strategist and he's why, oh, why would a person
so
of that
just
sort
totally
of intelligence?
Full of bullshit.
It's because I think he's tried to achieve, like, I suppose, countrywide domination, and effectively he has the fact he can now do as he pleases.
He's an anarchist and he tries to unsettle things. That's his whole purpose. He did really well with it in Brexit.
He's got nothing better to do with his time.
He's an unelected twat.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the heroes of the hour are BrewDog.
BrewDog. So let's go back to BrewDog. So this is the Barnard Castle Eye Test. It's a New England IPA at 6%.
Yep.
They describe it as a short-sighted beer for tall stories.
they are good, BrewDog.
The label's brilliant because when you have a look at the label, it actually looks like an eye test. And then
as you actually read round it, the lettering gets more and more blurred, but... I couldn't
That's
tell if
amazing.
That was. I was just getting more and more pissed as I was.
That's amazing.
But, it's fantastic. It's a great piece of satire, and it's also a great beer. I'd give for the name and for the because the beer is really nice and hoppy. It's got like a nice kind of light creamy finish. I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Amazing. Fair. Well done.
And also, fuck Dominic Cummings. Fuck you. Next time you go in your car, I hope you crash and you have to call the AA out.
So, just going to big... I'm just going to big it up for BrewDog here. So it's a dry... It's a, just continue. It's a New England old school IPA, locked down and loaded, dry hop, juicy hit, pineapple, mango, and a hint of zesty lime. But
where's the cream?
It comes in
well,
the...
Well, I just... The way Nathan described it as creamy, yeah. Dominic Cummings. But creamy Cummings.
Love it.
Yep.
Full of Cummings.
Wait. As Werner Herzog would say... I knew you were Cummings.
I knew you were Cummings.
But a big up BrewDog on this one here.
Big
so,
up BrewDog.
All profits from this,
yeah,
are funding production of the free sanitizer they do for the NHS and healthcare
yeah.
charities.
Yeah, because they're making hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Kudos.
They are. Kudos, BrewDog.
Yep. And once again, fuck Dominic Cummings. Seriously, man, change your glasses and get a haircut.
We all need a haircut.
Okay, so I just want to celebrate something here. So we're not out of lockdown yet. Shit's still going on, but we're doing our podcast. This will be out on Friday. But I've got a very special beer in the fridge. It's Nathan's birthday, but this is an amazing beer. I'm going to do a bit of background on this, and then you guys can talk amongst yourselves while I get this and serve it up. This
can
is
I
a,
steal a little bit of that beer as well before? Is that all right?
Do you want to? I'll bring it over to you in a minute.
Sound nice one.
So the beer I'm going to give to you guys is by a Swedish brewery, and they brew all around the world, but it's a brewery called Omnipello. So this is a Bianca Blackberry Maple Pancake Lasse Gozer. 7%, and it is fucking sheer deliciousness.
Is it?
So what I'm going to do, when I bring this around to you, don't drink it until we all sat down and we can all drink it together. I just want your initial response. It is an amazing. So the Lassie is the milk bit. The Goza is, I'm sure as Aaron will probably correct me if I'm wrong, is a German style of beer brewed with salt.
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
Salt, it's got rock salt in it. It's got heaps of maple syrup, heaps of blackberries. It is spot on.
Nice.
So you talk amongst yourselves for a second while I get this brewed.
I always surprise myself, brewed for real, about drinking dark beers. I always totally stereotype dark beers to guys, and it's one of my things that I'm proudest about as a lady that I know how to drink dark beers. And I always offer like stouts and chocolate stouts and stuff to friends, female friends who don't drink it. Do you agree? Do you think it's like a manly drink, a dark beer?
I wouldn't say kind of any. I'd say I don't understand why people kind of like classify beer as that. I knew it's like in one of the places I used to work at, they would like kind of balk at a woman had ordered like a pint of Guinness or something.
Yeah, it's a load of.
Of course it is. Beer doesn't care who you are, exactly. As long as you enjoy it.
I mean, it goes the other way around as well, in my opinion. You know, like if your mate orders a cider, drinking cider, why? It's the whole thing of just like,
it's like
really
I remember one of my mates
laughed
at
banter
me.
That just is just ridiculously tiring and
It's not like a panel in Viz magazine with Sid the Sexist or something, is it? it's like where you get looked at funny because you'd think, I fancy a glass of red wine or something.
Are we not allowed to drink it yet?
No.
Just got waved at. Yeah.
First thing, all right, we'll do this now. First thing I want you to do is take a deep inhale of that smell.
So tell me again the name of this beer.
So this is Omnipello's Bianca Blackberry Maple Pancake Lasse Gozer.
It smells savoury.
Savoury? It just smells rich. Have a smell of that.
Oh, wow.
My first smell like you say, salty.
I know.
It smells it smells like rum or brandy.
Yeah.
No,
sherry.
Sherry.
It smells like sherry.
Yeah.
It's that so is. Strong though,
right,
isn't it?
Go on, I'll let you taste it now.
Oh my god. The colour is amazing.
What's it called again? I've got to get this on.
So this is a Bianca Blackberry Maple Pancake Lasse Gozer.
I'll scan the can after.
Wow. My tongue just went a little... It's like...
It's an American breakfast in a tin.
And it's got that tartness, hasn't it, of the blackberries.
It's a dessert beer, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Omnipollo are brilliant anyway.
That's fabulous.
They are like the, you know, pinnacle. If football was, you know, if Brewers was like in football, they would be Premier League sort of Liverpool, Man City sort of level. They are.
Where are they
good.
Based, Omni Pillow?
Sweden, I believe.
Oh, sorry, you did say.
So they brew all around the world, but this is Sweden. For the record, that's 15 or 16 pounds a tin.
One can.
That's worth it, though.
So you've just given me...
It is amazing.
£4 odd in a glass.
In a tiny, tiny little glass. So they've got you guys, have got a thimble full. So,
and thank you for that, Jeff. Anyway,
thank you so much.
No, thank you. I just want you guys to try it. So for international audiences, that's 500 mil, 30 US dollars.
Where'd you get it from in all?
So I brought these from Head of Steam in City Centre.
Ah, fair.
It's so clean, isn't it?
But it's so fruity.
You know what's amazing as well is the head is...
Yeah.
A lighter purple than the actual beer.
Yeah.
It's a thing of beauty. I mean,
it is.
It is a rich purple colour.
Yeah.
It's full of, you can taste maple syrup.
To get a head that colour, that is seriously brilliant. That.
You can taste the maple syrup, you can taste the pancake batter, you can pretty much taste everything. It's a beer you take your time over.
Is the maple kind of oaky, woody flavour?
Yeah, that's kind of the oaky kind of... I'd say it's to do with some of the tartness as well. I'd say it's the maple.
If you lick your lips after, you can taste the maple after.
Mm.
Yeah, it's almost like an aftertaste that lingers the maple.
But I think the nice thing about it is the tartness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I had this with pizza. I know it sounds really horrible. But going with something savoury and then drinking this, I could drink it a lot quicker because I was enjoying it more.
Yeah.
It's not something that you would, especially at that price, you'd knock back. Something you savour.
It's stunning.
Yeah, it's something that you'd buy, like you've done, you share with other people. I mean, that's what, you do, you sort of, I mean, at 15 quid a can, you sort of have to whip round.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a whiskey, isn't it? You enjoy it together slowly at the end of the evening.
Should we go four ways on a tin of beer?
I was going to say, you couldn't really enjoy this slumped on the step of a corner shop, could you, at 10 o'clock in the morning, let's be honest. But,
I bet it's a good hangover cure.
Yeah.
An idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not willing to try it out for 15 quid. But
I will.
I'll go.
It's great.
I'll tell you what. Jeff, in fact, you've put me up to this now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me where to buy these from.
You can buy them.
Can you get them online?
I think you can get them from Brew York and online.
That's fine. What I'll do is I'll buy a case of them and a case of Carlsberg Special Brew, and then I will drink maybe about, so we've got to do a proper serious test, haven't we? So maybe 8 cans of Carlsberg Special Brew during the day. And then the next morning, I will drink one of those and see how bad my hangover is.
Don't buy a case of these.
Yeah, disclaimer. No one please do this at home because you're not as foolish as me.
What is the percentage again, sorry?
Nathan's a trained professional.
Trained.
6% on that.
It's lovely.
It is. So a bit of background on Omni Pillow. So they started their production in 2010 with a shared vision of changing the perception of beer forever. They have a plethora of styles, which I got some for Father's Day. I got a one like this, but with the addition of peanut butter and chocolate to it.
Oh.
I got the raspberry variant of this, and I also got a mango and passion fruit sour.
Amazing.
So they have amazing graphic artists that do their artwork. So it kind of represents pop culture and expressions of music.
Some of the art on beer cans now is just absolutely unbelievable.
Really
it is. And it makes you can know it's a shit beer, but you still want to buy it because it's got amazing
Like you might have seen it when I did the live event things. Mm. I have like a wall where I've put loads of cans and things. Like it's just, I mean, the good thing about Northern, like with Northern Monk as well, you can peel back the can and you read about the artist that did it and things like that. And it's...
Have a little installation in your own house.
It's better than just, it's better than buying a Lowry painting and...
Takes it to another level.
It's the only artist that came to mind.
Picasso.
I don't know.
We'd like a Picasso.
Van Gogh.
We'd like all these art.
I think my favourite painting is Edgar Munch's The Scream.
Do you know what? I went to Matlock the other week and someone had an inflatable version of the Scream Man in their window. It was bizarre. It was like an aluminium. It was. It was a helium balloon. Can you imagine? What would you even think? Firstly, buying that in the shop and then putting it in your window.
Oh, they could have had a blow up Donald Trump baby doll.
Absolutely, yeah.
I just think that's brilliant. Edgar Munch's Scream.
In the window.
The painting just makes me crack up laughing all the time. I don't quite know. Well, actually, I don't know why. It's because there was some stupid program on ITV back in like 2001 called Nights from Hell about like people who had like really bad sleeping conditions.
Oh yeah,
and there was this bloke who said he was constantly visited by a figure which looked like Edgar Munch's The Scream. And it wasn't funny in the sense of this poor bloke had terrible sleep, but the fact he was being attacked by the thing from the painting.
Aww,
which frankly,
it's terrifying.
I mean, it is a bit weird, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I just find it funny, to be honest, mainly because all it is a painting, yet it's destroyed somebody's life inadvertently. It's the concept of that.
Where did we get onto this topic from? Can art?
Yeah. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Is there a beer actually with Edgar Munch's
You should make
on
one. For sure.
You've got to research that for you.
Coin it.
Old.
So let's go with your quote for the podcast.
My quote? Not Nathan's factoid.
No, we're going to give Nathan a second to compose himself.
To compose himself. Okay. So, whilst researching an appropriate quote for today, mm-hmm. I did kind of, well, as has been the problem for lockdown, social media has been quite effective as at bumming me out, to be fair. There's just so much shit going on. It's just horrendous to look at. So the quote that stood out for me is by a German poet called Charles Bukowski. He said, "The problem with the world is that intelligent people are full of doubts, while the stupid ones are full of confidence." And I think it's so true. However, like I say, totally bums me out. Yeah. So I don't want to end on that bum note, but I do think it's very true. However, I've recently met somebody who is a very positive person and just has an optimistic outlook on life the whole time. And something that he said to me recently while I was going down this rabbit hole of depression on social media was that everybody fails until you succeed. So the thing I would say to all of these intelligent people that are full of doubts is that just keep failing, because one day you'll succeed. And it's so true. We live our lives through our mistakes. And I think that at this time, with all the craziness going on, we just need to know what is right.
Yeah.
Trust our intelligence and keep making the mistakes until we succeed and make it better. Believe
in yourself.
Believe. So yeah.
So who was that again?
So this is a man I've met on the internet called Stags, and he's just making me a very happy person at the moment. So yeah, thanks Stags for the believing in yourself.
Good old Stags.
Yeah, well done Stags. Thanks.
That's pretty cool as well. His name's the plural of two male deer. So.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with your beer factoid.
So, I mean, in lockdown as well, a lot of people have been drinking an awful lot. And also a lot of people have also been doing a lot of fitness stuff.
True.
So, my beer facts of the day are...
Not me.
I've tried. Yeah.
Is actually, I haven't beer tried. Is good for the gym.
Ooh,
beer,
why?
Beer is good for the gym.
Yeah, beer is good for the gym. It is rich in vitamin B, which will absorb carbohydrates, so you can eat your chicken and rice and then...
Yeah.
But by then, you'll sink a nice tin of your tenant super strength afterwards. And, well, maybe not that, actually.
well,
yeah. Rich in vitamin B.
Yeah, it's actually good for you. It also does, it also, if you drink before you go for your workout, it reduces strain on your heart.
Does it?
Yeah, obviously, I think it's because of the alcohol relaxes you anyway.
Yeah, so
it slows your heart rate down anyway.
Yeah, you think about it, yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm totally up for that. Because who isn't? Who doesn't like going to the gym and getting pissed? Let's be honest. And there's also another interesting factoid about Arnold Schwarzenegger and beer. Because when he was training, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Mr. Universe or something. Like he was... And the, I think it was the gym where he was training in Munich or München in Germany. Because there used to be a thing like with these kind of bodybuilder gyms, everyone would like be drinking milk. This one, they all drank steins of beer.
Yeah.
That's so German.
When you think about it, because... When you actually think, actually, that's actually pretty healthy because all it is just like, you know, because obviously it'll be all Reinheitsgebot beer, which is the German purity law.
Yeah,
of beer.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you think, yeah, that's probably why he won. He
is
probably,
it,
he probably won that.
Is Schwarzenegger a massive vegan as well? Doesn't he?
He may be. I don't know, to be honest. The last film I remember him being in was Batman and Robin.
I'm going to say so. Steins are pretty heavy as well, so it's gotta be good on your biceps.
Yeah, so
decent curls with them, can't you?
That's probably all he was doing. He was just like curling like these steins of beer, and that's probably how he did it.
Amazing.
I think the hook, just because I thought to myself, like, everyone's kind of said beer is actually pretty unhealthy. No, it isn't. It's only if you're sat on the step of a corner shop at 8:30 in the morning, drinking high strength, poor quality lager. That's when it's unhealthy.
And we've already mentioned the social aspect of it, haven't we? So, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Mentally. That's why I drink at home to keep away from people.
Well, on that note, let's finish with something. So I'm going to announce now that Aaron, we've talked about it, Aaron's going to become a regular and permanent fixture on the
Beer regular!
Show.
The loan deal becomes a permanent signing. You know.
I like that you waited till the end of this episode as well just to test him.
There was no test involved. We knew Aaron.
Yeah, I would have said it.
Aaron brought the goods. So welcome to the team.
Welcome. You really have made it a great episode.
Oh,
it's been
lovely
to have
you. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Mainly because you've taken the heat off Jeff, I think, for offending people with episodes.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that burden.
And we have a professional now that can talk about beer with some kind of authenticity.
Totally.
The only thing I do want to say is I don't believe, like, we're not all the same underneath. Rachel said that. It's still bugging me right now. Like, I just didn't believe it was that high of a percentage. You made me sound awful.
Right, so let's do one last thing. So, given our professional beer maker, beer brewer, beer meister, we're going to get you to recommend a beer to our listeners each month for each podcast. So, what's your recommendation of a beer to try?
Recommendation this week is many people might have tried it already anyway. But it is Glory, Northern Monk. It's there. I believe it's a triple IPA. It might be a double. But that's the one that I would, that's what I would go for.
Glory,
yes.
So Glory, Northern Monk is a Yorkshire brewery.
It is, yeah, in Leeds yeah. In Holbeck, that's where they're based. That's where their little... Flack store.
I have a contact for Northern Monk. We may get them on a future podcast.
Ooh.
Nice one. Get in.
So we'll do that.
Great.
Brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. So that's my recommendation.
Lovely.
Try and find it. You can order it from Northern Monk. I'm pretty
get
sure.
Any commission on this?
I don't know. I'll have to speak to Brian. But yeah. Oh, no.
Great one.
All right. So thank you for listening, guys.
Good to see you guys.
Well, thank you for
back.
Having me. It's been an absolute pleasure, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having me once again.
So I'm going to do the outro. And, 2 weeks' time, we'll be back.
Ah, cool.
Nice one.
So bye from me.
It's bye from me.
And me.
Goodbye.
Also, fuck Dominic Cummings. Seriously, fuck him.
It wasn't his fault. His eyesight were bad.